Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We start with the news out of New York in the last half hour or so. The Joe Douglas era in New York is over. He's the, or was, the general manager of the New York Jets. They were 30-64 under his tenure. He obviously was responsible for going all in to acquire Aaron Rodgers, which has failed miserably. He also hired Robert Saleh. They already fired Saleh. Devontae Adams trade he was responsible for. Disaster. Complete disaster. There's like nobody left that brought in Rodgers, and this seemingly should make it more likely that they would cut him in the offseason, even if it means eating money. I just don't know how you don't blow the whole thing up there. And what do you do with Devontae Adams? Like, you turn around and trade him again in the offseason?
If he's amenable to it, I don't know why you wouldn't, at least at that end. I would do whatever I could to get out of that situation. The problem with Joe Douglas is, if I just said, hey, Joe Douglas, have you drafted really talented football players? The answer to that is actually yes. He's found some really good football players, Breece Hall and Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson, and some good football players, but he sold his soul to Aaron Rodgers because he couldn't figure out a different way to do quarterback, and that backfired in a tremendous way. You're always going to get fired if you screw up quarterback. It doesn't really matter whatever else you do well. Next up on What's Trending, local college hoop, UMKC won last night 119-19. They won by a C note, a clean 100 over Calvary, a school out of Belton. Look, it's a blowout. I just wanted to mention it again, the UMKC won that much. I wore my Rouge jacket today just to support them.
The Calvary.
Good day. I want to go by. I told you. I saw Made Mob had a local collaboration with UMKC. I desperately want one of the hoodies, but it was $75. And I was like, $75 too much for a hoodie? Or is that just the going rate?
That's kind of what
it's going rate, but it's still too expensive.
Going rate? Like, if I were to get a Chiefs championship hoodie from, like, Rally, I mean, it'd probably be $75.
The Royals playoff ones were $75, $80. That's kind
of... It's a dope hoodie, but I'm afraid of the $75. But
you just must not be a support. Maybe take your professor money and go buy yourself a hoodie. You know?
I want to support a local business. I don't get paid again from UMKC until the end of the month.
Yeah.
They pay me once a month. I gotta wait for that next check to come through. Then maybe I'll buy it for myself.
Once you start suing for emotional distress of this car accident you got in, you can pay for that hoodie.
I'm gonna show up tomorrow with a foam collar around my neck. Kansas versus UNC Wilmington tonight, and Kansas State versus Mississippi Valley, the other two college basketball games this evening.
Next up on What's Trending, awards still continue to slowly trickle out for baseball. Maybe by Thanksgiving, we'll know who won MVP officially.
Embarrassing how long it takes.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
It's insane. Paul Skenes, no surprise, National League Rookie of the Year. Luis Gil for the Yankees named the American League Rookie of the Year. Paul Skenes, his reaction, which was like no reaction to winning, was great. Someone did a side-by-side of a photo when he was like, you know, basically when he was excited about something so minor compared to Rookie of the Year, where he had no reaction. Like, he just like, oh yeah, cool, thank you. I know I'm gonna win a bunch of Cy Youngs probably at some point in my career too.
I'm gonna ask a question about it later, because I don't know if we need to get a box break or what. I want this deal up that the Pirates are offering on his rookie patch card.
Yeah, Topps Chrome update is cards that are available, and there's a bunch of chase cards and the rookie patch autos. Players that were rookies now in baseball, they wear a patch that has debut on it. And they're using those patches in cards as well, and they're very rare. And of course, Paul Skenes would be one of the most sought after ones. There's a bounty out there for Paul Skenes' MLB debut patch.
Yeah, doesn't seem crazy. Next up on What's Trending, Peyton and Eli, they're going to be back as coaches for the 2025 Pro Bowl games. I actually think this is a smart move by the NFL, because this is their way of, these people are... Peyton and Eli are two of the biggest figures in the sport and entertaining figures. So they're hoping, even if you won't turn in for the Pro Bowl games like you care, maybe you'll tune in for the entertainment of Peyton and Eli. It's not a bad move by them, but I still don't care about the Pro Bowl games, and I never am.
I don't think I would watch anyway, but since the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl these days a lot, the Pro Bowl means, I mean, give a you-know-what level is so low, because no Chiefs players are playing in it. Because we're getting ready for the Super Bowl. It's pointless. And if the Chiefs were to miss the Super Bowl this year, a lot of them would probably enjoy the time off at that point, meaning like they wouldn't play in the Pro Bowl, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, if the Chiefs miss the Super Bowl, I doubt Patrick Mahomes is playing in the Pro Bowl games. I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think
also, this year, bad example. He won't be in the Pro Bowl this year.
No, he'll be. Yeah, he won't be, but bad I don't example. Know. If everyone turns it down, you know this works. We've had Derek Carr years when he had like more interceptions than touchdowns in the Pro Bowl. Don't ever discount how far down they get in the Pro Bowl sometimes. They'd be happy to have Patrick Mahomes.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Someone very upset with you, Cody, for bringing up that bleeping ass game.
They're really mad today on the text line.
That's not news.
Which part? The UMKC?
100-point victory is...
I think that makes news. Just, they beat a team by 100.
It's 100. Weird. It falls in the weird news category a little bit. Like,
that's
just not common. How often have you seen a collegiate team beat anybody by 100?
I'm going to ask a serious question here because of how bad that went. If you gave me 3 hours to scrap together players in the Kansas City area, can I get a team that would score 19?
No.
Come on, man.
But
there's got to be some
probably
former.
No, but
like, I couldn't like call up my guy Jared Sutton. He played D1 basketball. I mean, he's in his late 30s or mid-30s now. But
okay.
Like, but he couldn't drop more than four?
Yes.
What was the leading score of Calvary? Four points?
4 points. But you're saying...
4 points.
But you're also saying like 3 or 4 hours. Like, that's assuming everybody's just available, can drop. I don't think it's as realistic. Now, could a top high school team have scored 30 or 40 against UMKC last night? I think the answer is yes.
40?
And I feel bad like going
no,
after
30.
This.
Come on,
Calvary
30?
Is a very small private school in the
like
Kansas City area. Yeah, very small school. It's embarrassing, but also, you know, part of me feels a little bad for them.
They, at one point, I don't think this was in the middle of the game, so I don't know what it finished with, but at one point, UMKC had forced 38 turnovers.
Yeah, 75 to 11 was a score with like 16 minutes to go.
Oof. I mean, that's not good. You know, UMKC's on the up and up. They used to
Kansas City. You know, they've rebranded, Cody. You should know this as the professor over there.
I am familiar with that.
Kansas City Ruse, okay?
It'll always be UMKC to me, you know? Someone says, as a professor, shouldn't they just get you a free hoodie?
Kind of.
I don't think maybe I'm just going to give me a hoodie because I go to UMKC. And
go
I don't
talk
think,
to Marvin Menzies.
I think
Menzies just gets free hoodies to give out.
I think they should.
We actually got an email not that long ago and asked if we would have Marvin Menzies on every once in a while. So anytime we want Marvin Menzies... He's available to the show.
If they are in the Summit League final, let's get him on the show.
Yeah,
Summit League final. We are going to do a show outing at a Kansas City Ruse game.
Yeah, we're going to a Ruse game
at some point.
Are you kidding? They're beating down fellow.
I have multiple family members that went to
Kansas
multiple
City
family members went there.
Cody, hold on. How much did they lose to Creighton by?
23.
That's more of a flex than you beating an NCCAA school by 100. It just is.
They lost by 23 to Creighton. And they lost to Iowa State by 24. So, I mean, and Iowa State's top five team in the country. Like I said, their last four games are actually hilarious. They beat like a Bible college 4 games ago by like 90. They then lost to Iowa State, the 5th-ranked team in the country, lost to Creighton, the 14th-ranked team in the country, and then just beat this school by 100.
You can't sit
their schedule makes no sense.
You can't
sure, I can.
No, you can't.
Hanging close with Creighton, beating down bad opponents. Look, they got American next. I need them to get into conference play before we can start really getting some buzz going. Conference play. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah, wake me up in March.
American Eagles.
Wake me up in March.
If Menzies gets this team
at the what is
to
it,
the first ever NCAA tournament.
What is it up there called?
Is it
the Hexagon or whatever they play at for the tournament? What's it called?
The Pentagon?
Oh, the one in South Dakota.
Yeah, what's it called?
It's got a octagon. Stanford Pentagon.
I think it's the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pentagon. I don't know. I don't remember now.
The one in South Dakota.
Cody, so if they make it to the tournament, as long as it's not in Spokane, or if it is in Spokane, you're still going.
Yeah, I'll fight. I mean, it sucks if it's in Spokane.
They might be in the first four.
Dayton would be great, actually.
That arena is awesome.
That's a great spot. Fine, that's easy enough to get to. I'd borderline drive to Dayton. I wouldn't, but
it'd be a 9-hour drive. About.
Like, I think Speck could get 4 on Calvary. I don't want to say for sure.
The sites this year real quick, and then we're moving on. Denver, Providence, Lexington, Wichita, Cleveland, Milwaukee, Raleigh, and Seattle.
How come Kansas City's got to skip twice? Like, this is the first time I remember.
They got one coming up in a couple years.
Next year, I think, but it's been 2 years.
2027, Kansas City has the Midwest Regional.
So it's another. So it'll be 3 years without one in KC.
This is how it works, man. They just move around. That's all.
Anyway.
We don't have to worry about UMKC for a while. We can get back to them later in the year and or show. If they beat another person by 100, maybe we'll have to talk about it again. Again, if you don't want the smoke, don't step on the court. You know, you don't want to get beat by 100? Don't play the game. That's all I have to say about college-level basketball. But one of the big questions I think to come out of that game is Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are the two best quarterbacks in the league. I know that there'll still be people who make the argument for Lamar Jackson, and I don't blame you for making the argument. He's a two-time MVP winner. And certainly some people will make the argument for Joe Burrow. But Allen still has to do more if I am going to Abbott to Costello him, if I'm going to Mahomes to Brady him. He has to have hardware. Right now, Josh Allen's biggest problem in this argument is in he is the Brady, he is the Manning to your Brady, is that he has never accomplished anything of great consequence. He has put up great stats. He has won a lot of regular season games. He's won a lot of division titles in a row. No MVPs, never led the league in passing touchdowns, no Super Bowl appearances, let alone a win. Like, if you're going to actually be considered, like, if at the end of the career I'm going to be like, remember when these two battled to the death every time? And they do feel like heavyweight fights. But if I'm going to remember it like that, Allen better put some, like, stuff on the scoreboard.
I mean, but it can change so quickly. The hardware, there's a decent chance he gets the MVP this year. So that's part of the equation. Then, of course, ultimately, it's getting to a Super Bowl for starters and then winning one. And they already have a bunch of the head-to-head matchups. So he is closer because of how many times they have played. And it looks like finally maybe Allen's going to get an MVP this year, although Lamar is still going to factor into that MVP conversation. It is not over yet, even though I think Josh Allen has a great chance to win it. That's why before the season started on that betting show, we talked about Josh Allen being the bet that you should make for MVP, by the way. When it comes to going forward in this discussion about rivalries with quarterbacks, you have to, I think, win the Super Bowl in order for it to ultimately get to the Manning level. Because it's not like Manning played Brady a bunch, had MVPs, and never won a Super Bowl. That's why, like, if Lamar, who has multiple rings, if the Ravens were to get to a Super Bowl and win this year, then why is he not the answer?
I think it's
CJ Stroud hasn't played him enough, but if CJ Stroud somehow, and I don't believe in the Texans this year with what they've looked like, even last night in a win against Dallas, I think they're still flawed. We'll see if they get hot and maybe everybody will fall in love with the Texans before the playoffs. But like, if CJ Stroud were to win in December against Mahomes for their first matchup ever, and then in the playoffs he somehow beat him and got to a Super Bowl and won in his second year in the league, okay, well then we're having a conversation. But he wouldn't automatically get to the Manning level because they've only played each other twice. Yes. Allen is closer position because they've had close games eight times.
In 5 years, yeah.
And if he gets the MVP, then he's right in position to do that. Burrow doesn't have the MVP. They've had the close games. He's been to a Super Bowl, but until he gets an MVP and wins a Super Bowl, he's not there. Also, he's about to go two straight years without playing in the playoffs.
This just feels like a job. Like, hey, we're looking for the Manning to his Brady. Patrick Mahomes is seeking a quarterback to be the opposite side of his guy who challenges him every 3 or 4 years for Super Bowl titles and occasionally get one. But it's accepting all applications right now. Josh Allen is not the front runner. I don't know that anyone is. Somebody has to go win a Super Bowl in order to do it. Lamar Jackson immediately becomes that, in my opinion. If he goes through Mahomes this year and wins a Super Bowl, Josh Allen immediately becomes that. If he goes through Patrick Mahomes and wins a Super Bowl, Joe Burrow could have maybe become that. If he had gone through Mahomes and then won a Super Bowl or had MVPs, you have to have those things in order for this to work. Because that's the thing that we always forget about. Like, Manning, had it not been for Brady, Manning would have been the single greatest quarterback who ever lived. He is a 5-time MVP, a 2-time Super Bowl winner, a 15-time Pro Bowler. With the time he retired, he led the league in passing touchdowns and yardage. He is an all-time great. He only got 2 Super Bowls, not because Peyton Manning wasn't great, because there was a dude standing in his way. What stands out about this group that I can't still conceive is not a single one of them have stood in his way. Stafford's got his one. There's a couple of like rando NFCs, right? And Tom Brady stood in his way once. For all the greatness that seemingly existed quarterback in the AFC, not a single one of them have stopped taken the title from him. One team got to it and still lost it, but nobody else taking the title from him is crazy.
Mahomes isn't 30 yet, so there is still a lot of years ahead of all these quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't know when Peyton got the first one.
From the 913, I actually think this is a fair question, and it's interesting. They said, why does there have to be someone opposite to Mahomes? To me, it's Mahomes versus the NFL. It's a fair point. Everybody is trying to create Mahomes versus blank, just like it was Brady versus Manning. And there has been multiple names that have been shuffled into this conversation. Josh Allen is best positioned right now to be that. But for a couple of years, it was Mahomes and Burrow. Maybe it's Lamar and Mahomes. Maybe it's Watson and Mahomes. That sounds nuts now, but at one point in time, people thought there was a chance that's what we were headed to as well. So I think it's a fair point on the text line that there isn't somebody. Maybe we're going to fast forward
the whole career and he's never going to have it.
Fast forward, and it's not going to be that way. I think ultimately Josh Allen will be that individual because of the head to head. And now I think after this year, he'll have the MVP.
They're 4-4 against each other. Like if Josh Allen wins a Super Bowl, he's the second best quarterback still for me.
How many wins does Lamar Jackson have against Patrick Mahomes?
Two, three. I don't know.
One.
Is it only one?
One or two?
He's like 1-5, isn't he? Or 1-4? I think.
Yeah, I believe. Correct.
I wonder if the Super Bowl winning thing has to come from Lamar Jackson, because to me, because you bring up the record, Peyton and Brady seem to go more toe to toe against each other than it was lopsided. Like if Lamar beats Patrick Mahomes, he's 2-4 against Mahomes and he wins the Super Bowl. I still don't think that you can say Lamar Jackson is...
Brady was 11-6, if you're wondering.
Ironically, in the postseason, Peyton Manning has a winning record against Brady in the playoffs, which is crazy.
In the regular season, he was 9-3. So, like, are you sure he can't be, like, Lamar can't be? 3-9 was Peyton Manning in his regular season against Brady?
I know, but he was better against Brady in the playoffs. And I guess maybe that's, if you want to argue Burrow, maybe that's eventually the conversation you get into, because...
But he's 1-1, and Lamar with one run to be 1-1.
Correct. So I wonder if... I think Josh Allen's more positioned because we've seen them play so much more often, where it seemed like in the Brady Manning, and maybe that's the comparison I'm coming from, is not necessarily the rings, but they've played each other so many times, it gives you that feeling of... It always comes down to these guys, or every single game always means something, that if Josh Allen is able to beat him in a playoff game, maybe that's enough to say, okay, I think the fact that he beat him in the playoffs, Josh Allen is now that guy. Like he is the Manning, because they play so many times. What is it? 9 in the last 5 years? Potentially 10 if they play again in the playoffs?
I just think you have to have other accomplishments. I don't think you can just like play well against Mahomes.
I think an accomplishment is beating him in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl. To me, that would be an accomplishment that Josh Allen obviously hasn't even had yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's something. Like, Peyton Manning did that. But that always goes down to the same thing.
Hardware, I'll be honest,
if Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs this year, I kind of assume they're winning the Super Bowl. They finally got past the bully, right? They got past him the one time, so I'm just going to assume that they're going the rest of the way now, right? I mean, I know that that's just presumptuous, but like, I just kind of assume if Josh Allen beats Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, they're going on to win.
If the Chiefs don't get back to the Super Bowl and it's Josh Allen against the Detroit Lions, I will absolutely be rooting for Detroit. I mean, that's...
I think it won't even be close.
Not just for this conversation, but just in general.
Yeah, this is more like a side conversation, but I think if the Ravens beat the Chiefs, I don't think they can win the Super Bowl because the defense stinks so bad. I don't think they're beating the Chiefs anyways, but... just for that reason, I just wonder if Josh Allen's the best positioned, you know, for that conversation more than anybody else.
Oh, yes. That's why everybody's, that was the whole, that's why.
It just makes sense that he would be the guy.
For sure. All right, let's get to all 32 guys. I'll go back to Dallas. I think it's pretty obvious what's going to happen at the end of the season. They're going to fire Mike McCarthy. Does it really matter if they do that, though? Because as long as Jerry Jones is still involved, the same mistakes are going to keep on happening. If the Cowboys were truly being honest with themselves, and Jerry Jones was truly being honest with himself, they should blow the entire thing up. That includes, believe it or not, yes, trading Dak Prescott, leave CeeDee Lamb, move on from Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
They need a 2-year reset, like truly a reset, where they're going to kind of tear it back down, build it back up, be patient for 2 years. Promise, Jerry Jones is never doing that. He thought they were close this year. 3 weeks ago, he still thought they were close to winning a Super Bowl. They're done. Cooper Rush shouldn't even be playing. Just let Trey Lance, whose contract expires at the end of the year. That's what I would do. Play Trey Lance. Maybe he looks great all of a sudden. Then you have some more. Then you have some more options in the offseason. I know Dak's under contract. Somebody would trade for Dak Prescott. Absolutely. I think they need to blow the entire thing up. You can bring back Dak Prescott next year with CeeDee Lamb and have a brand new head coach. They're not winning the division. They're not winning a Super Bowl next year. They need to tear it all the way down.
I know that I think maybe a year ago to the date, I brought this up again. I am dead serious, and I do not care what advantage it gives the offense. Eliminate an eligible man downfield. It is the stupidest penalty in this sport. It ruins big plays all the time. I understand there's some advantage in some guy getting like 2 yards down the field. Or can we extend it? Can it be more than a yard? Can it be 5 yards? Can we like let them get a little bit further down? That Nico Collins play last night is just one of many examples in where an eligible man downfield seems to be getting called 15 times a game between the two teams. And I'm kind of tired of it. I know it seems simple. Like, can't these teams just make the adjustment and this guy stop getting upfield? I think it's just really hard. And honestly, I don't think it does anything but like maybe benefit the defense a little bit. Who the hell cares about rules that benefit the defense? Not the NFL. Not in their entire history. They've only done things to benefit them. It is the dumbest rule in this sport, and I desperately want to go. I'm just tired of it getting called. I don't care. I don't care if they never called it
definitely,
ever again.
It definitely would be another rule that would go away that would favor offense and make it much tougher to play defense. I mean, there's a reason why it exists. It's you're if you're a defender, if we were to have Sean Barber on, I would love to hear his reaction to you. I think if you're a linebacker, what you're suggesting makes their job so much tougher. If all of a sudden linemen can be 10 yards down the field and there's no consequence to that.
That's fine with me. I mean, sorry, Barber. Sucks to be a linebacker. They don't do things to help the defense. That's not how the league works. They help the offense. We want more points.
Also, it's like there is you can say it's oversimplifying it, but like last night, first play of the game, the Nico Collins touchdown's called back as Laremy Tunsil was down the field ineligible. At some point, like, execute better. That was a scripted play that you knew you were running all week, or at least the last couple days, to get Nico Collins' first game back. You knew Laremy Tunsil. You knew you were running that play, and you still went beyond the line.
I just hate it.
Also, just execute better. Like, be a smarter football player in that moment.
You want the linemen screening the linebackers? Yes, I do.
Yeah, I disagree, man.
Yes, I do.
I disagree. I get what you're
absolutely.
Did I enjoy the Nico Collins touchdown? Did it suck? It got called back? Sure. But like what you're suggesting also, like at some point, I also don't want every wide receiver screen just going for a touchdown.
Can we just get
That's not fun either.
Can it be a couple more yards? Can I get a yard, two, something? It's too fine of a line.
Yeah.
Too tight of a window.
So my all-32 take is, what the heck has happened to Justin Tucker? He is by far having the worst season of his career. He's only kicking 72.7% of his kicks are good. His worst percentage up until this point was 82.5% back in 2015. He is having a horrendously bad season. I don't know if you guys saw this. He was blaming the playing surface on Sunday as well. It's not the exact take you want your kicker to have, who is a Hall of Famer, but he's really fallen off this year.
He tried to step up to Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. He got his little feelings hurt when Travis Kelce tossed his helmet to the side, and that man's never been the same.
He was already slipping.
Ever again.
He was slipping before that. I know in Kansas City, it's fun to say Travis Kelce's the one that caused it, but he was slipping before. It's the end of his career. It's towards the end of his career, and
what happened?
He's had a great run, and ultimately now he's just not as sharp.
Should he retire after this year just for the sake? Oh no,
he's not retirement bad. Hold on, he's not retirement bad. Your guy Evan McPherson should retire before Justin Tucker. Thank you very much.
He's cost
you guys 3 games this year.
You're 100% right. But for Justin Tucker, if he keeps kicking, say he's 75 or say he's 80% next year, he has another bad season. We're not going to remember him for like the good years. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You think he's hurting his Hall of Fame chances?
No, but I think he's hurting his. I don't know if he hurts his Hall of Fame chances because he's been so good. But maybe if he keeps on kicking, if he goes 75% this year and 75% next year, I know it's rare to have a kicker in the Hall of Fame, and he was great. But are we sure that he's actually going to get in the Hall of Fame again?
His problem is distance. He's six for six inside of 40. He's only missed one kick inside of 50. or two kicks inside of 50. But man, you take him outside of 50, it ain't happening.
I think he should consider it.
7.
He's just done. I mean, I think he should consider as far as being the elite kicker in the league.
You know, Harrison Butker currently ranks 12th in field goals made. I guess that doesn't really matter. I only care about percentage. I don't care how many kicks he has.
Probably because he hasn't 17th? As many.
He's only made 90% of his kicks. That's good for 17th. 90%. But to your point, Justin Tucker is currently 35th in the NFL in kick percentage made. Just one spot ahead of Evan McPherson.
Oh, my God. If there's one guy that could be worse, it is Evan McPherson.
Up next, we'll check in on how Cody's morning went, and a big trade happened in the broadcast world. We'll explain that next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Coming up in 15 minutes, maybe a little less than that, we'll get to random question of the day. Also, 25 minutes away from Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, joining us. Definitely want to see if he's hearing anything new on the left tackle situation, specifically Donovan Smith. Anything new on that front? And does he agree with us about Tyquan Thornton, who the Chiefs signed to their practice squad, former second-round pick? Does he agree that that's more of a get him acclimated,
solve that problem later,
bring
situation.
Him back next year for training camp, basically, kind of thing? We'll find out from Nate Taylor in just a little bit. You had an interesting morning for those that missed the start of the show today. You unfortunately ended up in an old car accident.
Yeah. Obviously, as I talk about Volkswagen Lee Summit because I really do drive a 2024 Tiguan. I think people every once will be like, is that really your car? Yeah, it's really my car. I bought it earlier this year because I really wanted a car to go in there. I got rear-ended by a work truck on my way into work today. And I got to be honest, as someone who has never owned a new car in their entire life, easily one of the most frustrating things to ever happen to me.
It's what, five months old?
Yeah. It has it has less than 15,000 miles on it. I don't know. I mean, way less than that, but it's a brand. I've never purchased a brand new car. I drove my last Jetta for 11 years. It was in a single fender bender, a billion years ago or something. Other than that, I've just been driving this car perfectly. No problem. And I don't want to talk about, I guess, the result of the accident, because I guess somebody could spin it. I don't know. I have insurance coming. I got rear-ended. I didn't do anything. I had the car in front of me. This is not my fault. I will say, your initial reaction in those moments is to be like, come on, man. What the hell?
Well, sure.
This is my new car. I just got it. And then the claims lady on the phone was like, honey, I'm so sorry. It's your brand. Oh, it's a 2024. Oh, that's so bad. I'm like, lady, in a weird way, that energy hurts me worse. I don't need it. I appreciate that they're probably trying to find nice people to but I don't need this. I just need you to tell me the things you need from me. Tell me the photos you need me to send, the information you need to get this claim processed, because I got to get the car fixed at some point, and it's a holiday week next week. So can we please do this? But I'll be honest, that guy,
it's drivable, right?
It is drivable. That guy got out of the car, and while he wasn't smoking a cigarette, you could almost see the invisible one in his hand. He looked like he was ready to take a drag immediately. So when he stepped out of the car and already has insurance card in his hand, already had all the information he needed, the guy was like, thanks. He said, thanks for being cool about this. And I'm like, what else am I supposed to do? What, berate you? This is not going to do us any good. Life happens, I guess. So let's hope your boss isn't too mad, because it was a work truck.
Luckily, he wasn't going highway speeds. Otherwise, you would be in the hospital today. You would not be on the show with us or whatever. So hopefully, my guess is you're going to wake up sore tomorrow, man. I'm guessing you're going to get
he hit me with a decent amount of force. I would say he was kind of zooming a bit. Not zooming, but it felt like it was a little bit that.
Yeah, so you're dealing with more now that you know you're, as far as, fine to a certain degree. Yeah, at least you're not dealing with some of that aspect. You're still all day today. You've been dealing with the insurance company stuff. So that sucks.
And everybody can claims in online and all that stuff. But you're filing it through their insurance because it's their accident that happened.
At least you didn't have the kids in the car or anything, Cody. Too.
No.
That's the thing. It's like it was just you. It could have been way worse.
Yeah.
But I'd be fuming. I would have been fuming in the moment.
It's like
I would have been fuming.
I you know, and probably not for good mental health. Like, I'll bury it for a little bit. Like, for a little bit, I'll just be like, you know, life happens and things are there. But, like, tonight, I'll just be sitting around and be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, are you serious? Like, is this real? I just got this car. I love this car. Very happy with it. From Volkswagen Lee Summit. And now? Now? Oh, God. So who the hell knows? I haven't had to take a car to a body shop in, I'm not kidding, ever? The fender bender I was, like, the last 15 years ago did not require anybody. So, like, this is the first time in my life I bought a new car. This will be the first time in my life I've had to take a car to a body shop. So I'll take recommendations over 913-586-7965. Because I don't even know if I, true to God, I don't even know how that works with insurance. Do they choose the shop? Do I, can I just take my car to Volkswagen Lee Summit and let take care of the body work? Or do I have to, like, go through their approved person? You know, God knows. God knows. So I'll take suggestions. Someone says, I just assume Cody cut the guy off. Not true.
Someone says, sounds like, Cody, you might have been harmed in a way that may affect your vocal cords. You might not be able to sing again. Let's hope.
What the hell? Someone said, did it still have the Tim Tags on it? Not that bad.
That would, like, weeks after owning, that would have been
real. I will say, of all the accidents I've been witness to or, like, been in the vicinity of, it's not the funniest one. Even though that guy, I'll say that guy followed me pretty much the rest of the way. He was going the same place as me, clearly. We're heading down the same highway. He was pretty much behind me all the way the rest of the work. Had he rear-ended me a second time, all-time moment.
Yeah.
I mean, he was directly behind me the rest of the way. He had to look at the back of my car the rest of his way to his job.
He had to.
Had to suck. That had to suck. He got off like one ramp before me on our way into the office. So that was probably a brutal
text line. Somebody said maybe
office.
Cody was just driving too slow. Well, you were stopped. Even as much as I would love to give you a hard time and say this was Cody being on cruise control 20 miles an hour like he does, this wasn't. This was you getting off an exit, essentially, or whatever.
Yeah, we're just having you know, like a complete slowdown where, like, people aren't moving on the road sometimes when that happens. The funniest one I ever saw is when I watched a lady run into a fire truck. That was the funniest.
Oh.
A fire truck backing up into the fire station with its lights on, and I was parked waiting for them to go, and I watched a lady drive right past me and run right into it. That was easily the funniest. That was like I don't even know how you got in this accident, miss. I don't even know how you accomplished this. That's a fire truck. You almost can't miss them.
Yeah, your insurance company will ask if you have like a preferred body shop, maybe, and then if not, they'll give you a couple options.
Someone says they hope the guy's a listener. If you are listening, if you happen to just happen to
please
be
call
listener
in.
Station,
please call in.
You're welcome to call.
Once this is all settled, like, and you guys
once
get
we're
the
through
once you
the
get
pieces,
the process and the legal stuff is done, just please call in one day. Please, maybe we'll invite you in for clubs for fan club. Have
fan
a drink
club
with us.
You need it. That guy's going to need a drink tonight.
Once everything is settled, once we know you don't have any neck issues, once we know the car is fixed and everybody's calm and it's something you can laugh about, I hope this guy, obviously, you said, you know, he's obviously got it through his work. So hopefully the job is good for him still.
I don't know how he followed you. I don't think I'd be able to. I would have waited a little bit longer for you to pull away, and then I would have found my way on there. I wouldn't be able to.
Directly behind me, man. The whole way. The whole rest of the way in the rearview mirror. Of course, then I'm like, okay.
Someone says, yeah, he ruined the value of your car in the future if you ever plan to sell it. It's ruined forever.
Good news.
Text line. Thank you for that text.
Good. Thanks for bringing the energy down. Great news, at least on that end. When I say this thing, I'm dead serious. I bought a new car because my plan all along was that I knew the mileage, and I knew that, like, look, I don't make so much money that I can just, like, buy brand new cars for my kids when they're 16. My goal is that my daughter, who's 8 years old, will drive this car 8 years from now with a little over 100,000 miles on it, and I'll take care of it the whole time to make sure that it's a good quality car for my kid when they turn 16. So it's her problem. 8 years from now. Tough. That person did say they are a fellow Tiguan owner, so, you know, we don't have, like, the Jeeps who do, like, you know, they, like, give each other thumb. What do they do? Like, Jeep owners, like, give themselves a wave or something. They got, like, the ducks in the car.
I thought that was the Beetle. The Mini Coopers do the, like,
the Jeeps do it too. So let's do, you know, hey, Tiguan guy. Me and you, we're Tiguan drivers. Let's all agree now. Anyone who drives a Tiguan, let's get, like, a, you know, let's get some sort of, like, a signal to each other. Let's spread that around the city. That's all. I will say, handled up great in the accident. Safety ratings, fantastic. That's all I can say.
There was a, there was a trade that happened, but not involving teams, not involving prospects or anything like that. It was a broadcast trade. Sounds like you and Drew in particular, I think, are more excited about this than I am. But yes, it's unusual. We don't see this often. So the very popular Inside the NBA show, which is on TNT, owned by Turner Sports, has been, their status has been up in the air for a year or so because of the contract expiring, losing the NBA. NBC is starting to get games again. Obviously, ESPN and ABC, Amazon Prime's getting involved in the NBA rights. And so the future was very much in flux for Chuck and Shaq and Ernie Johnson, Kenny Smith.
I mean,
Smith,
they were like openly mentioning it on the show. Like Chuck,
but
was
basically, ESPN made a trade with Turner. And so a certain amount of Big 12 football and basketball games are now going to be on Turner, as Turner's getting into the collegiate game more. And in exchange for that, because ESPN, of course, has the rights for that, in exchange, Inside the NBA is going to air on ESPN and ABC starting this spring, I guess.
I kind of love this for both. Look, Warner Brothers sued because you can sue under any circumstance and then try to, like, hold up the deal, hold up the NBA switching, go through all the arguments with John Tesh over the song, whatever, right? You can do whatever you want to try to fight this thing. They found the balance. ABC knew they were going to have an increase in inventory with NBA games, and ESPN was going to have an increase in inventory. So what they offered was, give us the only show anyone knows related to the NBA and all of its property, and in exchange for that, we will give you 28 college football and college basketball games that we were going to have a hard time airing anyway, because we have a whole bunch of new NBA games we have to air. Mm-hmm. Deal. So, and this is great for the Big 12. Now, instead of ESPN Plus for Kansas and Kansas State, which was very real possibility for those schools, yeah, now they're going to have them on TNT or TBS. So if you already have YouTube TV, Hulu Live TV, a normal, you're going to be able to find it easier under your already pre-designed watch participants for those basketball games and for those football games. It's a good trade for both. Plus, I like that Inside the NBA mm-hmm. gets to live.
I'm more excited because of what you mentioned with, for the local schools, that versus maybe having some games on ESPN Plus, there's a chance you'll be able to get it on Turner for a random conference basketball game for KU or K-State, or a random, you know, KU Baylor football game or something, whatever it may be in the future. That part is what I'm into. The show moving to ESPN doesn't really do much for me. Like, I enjoy watching it. Once NFL season's over, I love the entertainment aspect. We've mm-hmm. played cuts from Chuck talking about yeah. San Antonio and stuff, right? And the Riverwalk and the nasty water in Galveston. Like, we've had fun playing those cuts. It's one of the greatest shows we've had in sports television. And it's won, I don't know, 7 Emmys or whatever at this point in time.
Every year, it seems
like. The fact that it's on ABC, ESPN, like,
I don't care what channel.
The show being, if it means the show sticks around, sure. My only thing is, how much longer is that crew doing it? So it's great they have the show, but in 2028 or something, is Chuck and Shaq and Ernie all still doing it? Isn't Ernie retiring soon, didn't they say?
I mean, it seemed like it, but something makes me think when they make the switch over, he'll stick around for at least a couple of years.
Well, there's an article out that Shaq technically isn't signed with them beyond this year.
Okay.
So that there goes into, you know, that being a question mark. I do think, and there's, it's weird because they're still Turner employees, all of them are, because Ernie Johnson said he's always going to work for Turner, he's never leaving. Yeah. Chuck has said vocally, I'm never working for ESPN. So they're Turner employees. The production crew all gets to stay together, but it's under ESPN's wing. They're still going to have the ESPN countdown show and everything like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they, not necessarily blend, but how does the setup look for a Thursday playoff game in April.
Like, I think people are worried that ESPN's just going to, like, shove their personalities.
Yeah. I certainly hope not.
Into a show that already functions. Like, it'll be the TNT crew, and here comes Stephen A.
Yeah, and you're and Mad Dog.
Here comes
all
Mike
of a sudden.
Greenberg.
Yeah,
and you're like, I want Mike the Mad Dog on it. That, or, you know, whatever. Get him on.
Yeah,
Mad
it seems
Dog
to be those four guys.
Yeah, it doesn't. No. Yeah. But you don't want it.
No.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. If you'd like to see the video, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. The Fan 965. We live stream the show.
We do. Cody will be giving a full tour of his car after the show. He'll take the cameras down. Yeah, if you want to see the damage, Cody will be giving tours.
You should have gone out to see how bad. You didn't get like the close look.
No, I saw it out the window. It was very evident from the window.
That's not a great sign. Unfortunately. Evident from the window, not a great sign. The question I have for you is, would you make the trade? It's plain and simple. Paul Skeens, the Tops, has a chrome set box out in which there are one-of-one cards that includes a patch from their major league debut put into a card. The Paul Skeens one is easily the hottest commodity of this. As part of that exchange and coming out, the Pittsburgh Pirates, once it got announced the card was coming out, offered up a deal. And you're like, well, that seems like a good... And by the way, it's been doubled down on. Now Livy Dunn is offering up a part of this thing, too. You can watch a game in her box. But as a reminder, the one-of-one card is, I don't know, worth tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of money. If you're curious what they're offering, so I'm going to ask you the question is if it related to the Royals. Because if this were the Pirates, you're probably not going to do it. Let's just say you had a Bobby Witt Jr. rookie patch auto card. And the offer was this. This is the exact Pittsburgh Pirates offer. Would you take it? 2 season tickets behind home plate for the next 30 years. Let's just say they're Crown Club. Let's just say they're Crown Club. They're probably not.
Say they're Diamond Club.
Let's say Diamond Club. There you go. Diamond Club seats. A softball game for 30 people at Kauffman Stadium, plus coaching from Royals alumni. A spring training experience, as they said, like no other. So you get a private tour, meet and greet with Bobby Witt Jr. in this case. Yeah. 2 autographed jerseys from Bobby Witt Jr., batting practice and warm up with the team, and some additional stuff to go with it. Would you take that trade for the Bobby Witt Jr. card?
So it's the reason why this is interesting is the debut patch was something that has only been around for a year or so. So unfortunately,
so this doesn't exist for Bobby. I'm just saying if it did.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But just so it doesn't exist for Bobby. There's other rookie cards, but not this patch auto, which is why people are breaking these Topps Chrome update boxes all across the country right now. And Paul Skeens, the card for Paul Skeens, the reason why they're offering everything like that is probably what $500,000 worth of tickets basically they're offering up is because that Paul Skeens card, you probably could sell it for, I'm not even like for maybe over $1 million at some point, like very realistically. So do you want the cash or not? Like, it's not just a $20,000 card or whatever. So to answer your question for Bobby Witt Jr., if you're a Royals fan, and
it's once in a lifetime, you know, experience. Probably depends on how much money I had, if we're being
honest.
Yeah,
like if
I was already well off.
If the value of the car, you knew you could sell it. Now it takes time to sell it, but if you knew you could sell it for $300,000, there's a lot of people that would just take the money. I'll be honest, I'll take the money. Despite now, if you're someone that doesn't need the money, then season tickets for 30 years and all
getting
that is
to play
great.
Softball, yeah. Kauffman, and all this. Real quick news out of the NFL.
Okay,
Jordan Schultz says the Chiefs are signing Giants. I'm sorry. I thought it was the Chiefs. I saw it wrong.
Oh, Somebody got me all excited.
Sorry.
I thought they were signing a tackle.
Well, it is. Giants are signing an offensive tackle to their practice squad. I thought. Cody. I apologize.
Wow.
I apologize. Wow. I got excited.
What a tease.
Somebody sent it to me like it was. I think they were just pointing out. It. I apologize. Let's get back to the Bobby Wood Jr. thing. I distracted us. That's on me.
That wasn't Donovan Smith, Cody.
That's on me.
That wasn't Donovan Smith to Kansas City.
That's on me. But when you look at this, I think it simply would come down to an economics thing. Some people are saying this card could be worth millions of dollars gold. I think it'd be really hard to not figure out if it's worth millions of dollars.
Eventually, not right away. Like, you couldn't sell it tomorrow for $1 million, the Paul Skeens one.
Yeah.
The Paul Skeens one eventually, I think, will be worth for over $1 million.
Yeah, you have to take it to an auction, all this. I think if I were well off, like if I were just like comfortable and happy and didn't care, you know, right? Like you were just like a person who lived in a super nice house and didn't need the finances for any reason. I think I'd take the offer. A softball game at Kauffman, taking batting practice with major league players. Maybe not in our case, right? Because I don't know. You have some act. You could go to spring training gold. You couldn't take BP, but you could stand on the field for BP. You know. And Drew and I have actually played. We've actually hit and played catch on Kauffman. Like, some of those things are arrangeable if you just have enough money. So, and you might just have enough money if you sell this Paul Skeens card. But it'd be pretty tempting, wouldn't it?
It'd be tempting. It's really smart on the Pirates' part. Here we are talking about it. And this is a big chase card because it's Paul Skeens, who just won Rookie of the Year. He's probably going to win some Cy Youngs in his career. Who knows? One day when he's out of Pittsburgh, maybe he'll win a World Series. I don't know. I don't think he's going to win one in Pittsburgh necessarily. Although, depending on their
he's so great, maybe.
Maybe, right? Maybe. They've got pitching, not just him. They've got other pitching. We'll see what they can do. But I think the... Bobby Wood Jr.'s scenario is more interesting because we already now have seen he's going to finish second in MVP this year, and we already know, like, even more into his career now, what, and he was in the playoffs already. Paul Skeens hasn't been in the playoffs yet.
Could you imagine, though, if it was crown seats for a minute, Gold, and you just
30 years of crown seats? I'm taking that, man.
I just think, like, I can sell the seats when I can sell the seats when I don't use them, right? But also, like, you would be the hero in your group. Does that make sense? Like, your sister's like, hey, I really want to go to the game tonight. Can I borrow? You know, like, you'd be the hero in your group for an eternity. But the problem is that, like, seeing the actual value in it all the time would be difficult because you have to sell a lot of them in order to, like, actually get the value out of it.
But if you, like, the easiest, if for those that are asking, like, hey, how do you find this card? Like, look, these are usually ones you would have to buy into a break. So the Fanatics Live, there's different card breakers. Let's say they'll have randomizers or you'll buy a pirate spot in a break. There might be two boxes that are open in the break. The pirate spot might sell for
more than the others,
$200 or whatever for the pirate spot at least. Or you randomize, you hope you get a good spot cheap, and then you're gambling basically that it comes out. Most people aren't able to afford a hobby box or multiple hobby boxes.
What does this cost? Like, if I just went to go buy the box, what's it run?
I don't know. Like a place like Artist Sports or the Overland Park Baseball Card Store, I don't know what they charge for a box of hobby. But there's also only a box that is available to breakers called like Breakers, like Delight or something. It's like that's the controversy. Not to get too nerdy, we already are. When it comes to card breaking, there's controversy that only the big hits are coming out of breaks now and not from normal people. And so that's a whole different topic.
So if I just went to go buy it off the shelf,
you're not going to get the Paul Skeens card if you go to Walmart and buy a Topps Chrome update box. No.
But if you're 10, man.
Oh, for sure.
You think that you might do it?
Absolutely.
If it's $80.
Absolutely.
Like, I think if you're a kid, that's a moment, you know? Like, even if you don't hit it, it's a moment.
It's like getting a golden ticket, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, basically. Sort of moment.
People are saying you're concussed, clearly, with your thinking the Chiefs signed a tackle.
I'm actually going to use this as evidence.
Yeah, you're concussed, man. Serious neck pain, I can tell. Up next, we're going to be joined in studio by Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. Of course, our conversation with Nate are brought to you by Mark Ferguson, attorney at law. Might need to give him a call as well, Cody. That's coming up next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.